Welcome back to Unit 7 in the class Reading and Writing for College Students for Christian Leaders Institute. We're going to be talking about the process of writing, and I'm Sky Pike. I'm going to guide you through this process today. So we looked last time at the reasons for writing. Now let's look more in depth at the actual process of writing, that the how we are going to take something and make it into something that is worthwhile for someone else to read. So the process of writing is not easy, and it always starts with reading and taking in information. And it's not just reading, it's all the things we talked about with reading before. It's the reading, it's the understanding what you're reading, it's the learning from the reading, it's the critical thinking about what you're reading, how it intertwines with our own thoughts, how we agree or disagree with it, and then also it's the embracing whether it is valid or invalid, the wise use of the wisdom in our reading. It starts there, but it definitely does not end there, because the process of writing, that's only the beginning. It continues with at least three distinct sub-processes. Now, these are going to be pre-writing, where we kind of get the ideas and skeleton together. It's going to be drafting. That's where we start to put some meat on the bones of the skeleton. It's going to be revising, and that's where we make the draft of the paper or whatever we're writing look presentable and nice. And then finally, there's the editing, where we make it polish everything so it looks top notch and as good as possible. Let's think about this. Let's think about these raspberry yogurt bars here, and think about what did it take for them to get to the point where you, on a hot summer's day, are going to be able to enjoy one of these. What are the processes? How many processes went into this? Well, when you picked them off of the grocery store, you took them to your house. You put them in the freezer. You took them out when you wanted one. You took the wrapper off and you put it in your mouth and started eating. But long before you ever had it, they had gone through a process to get there to where they were. So if we work backwards from the store, somebody stocked them into the store freezer. Someone transported them to the store, a truck driver usually, transported them in a truck to the store from a processing plant that made them. The processing plant then took the sugar and yogurt and raspberries and mixed them together so that they made a slurry of this yogurt that then they froze. So they're making a recipe. They had someone there that was making sure the ingredients were quality ingredients, not didn't have toxins in them, that they were healthy and nutrient-wise. Before they added the ingredients to put them together. And then they went and they got the ingredients from the farmers who had the cows that had the milk that someone made the yogurt from, that had the sugar cane where they obtained the sugar that goes with this from, and the farmers that had the raspberries, so they picked the raspberries so that they could be put into this bar. And then the farmer also had to, before they even grew the crop, the farmer had to be thinking about what type of pasture the cow was going to be on, what type of grain the cow was going to have, what type of nutrients the raspberry fields and the sugarcane fields were going to need, how they were going to harvest those crops, how they were going to prepare the land. And if we think subatomically, all this stuff is going on, all the subatomic processes of the cellular processes that make us move, that make the workers that were involved in the process move, that make the truck engines run, that make the tractor engines run, that make the microbes in the soil, the nutrients in the soil go up into the plants, and the plants make these sugar cane and the raspberries from all these different processes go into just making this yogurt raspberry bar. And there's many, many more we could even mention for that. Think about how many skills and how many different ingredients would be necessary for this. We talked about a few of the ingredients, which are raspberry, sugar, and yogurt, but the yogurt had a process to make it that had ingredients. There are probably other ingredients in this, like guar gum and maybe some many other ingredients that would go into this bar. You have the stick here that you have to make from a tree somewhere, sometime. So all these ingredients, all these skills, all these processes go into making this finished piece that we get to enjoy on a hot summer's day. The same thing is true for writing. How many processes, mental, physical, or otherwise, went into the writing of this book, of the page of this book even? So of course, there's the physical ink that was needed to be made from the different chemical ingredients that make the ink. There was the paper that was got from trees. And then there was the binding that was done at some factory with different glues and pieces of string. But what about the actual words themselves? How much work went into making these actual words? The answer is a lot of work. And it took multiple steps for them to get here. Just like with that raspberry yogurt bar, it took multiple processes and multiple steps to get that yogurt bar to the place where we could enjoy it on a hot summer's day. The same thing is going to be true for writing. Any writer, you, me, great writers, the great writers of history and the great writers today are going to go through the same steps and the same processes to make their manuscripts and their literary works. So this writing is going to divide it into three stages we talked about. First is a pre-writing, and that's basically anything we do before we start the document. It's going to be the research of the document, and it's going to be organizing that research ideas, those ideas that we have, into sort of a framework, if you will, a skeleton that is going to become the core logical ideas of what we're going to present in this work of art we're doing. That skeleton is going to remain pretty firm and secure throughout the whole writing process. It's not going to change too much. You may change the words about that go around and explain the things of the skeleton, but you will not change that basic idea of how that piece is going to be organized and structured to a great deal. You may have to change it sometimes when you get to the editing process or revising process a little bit, but not too greatly. Otherwise, you're going to miss your point of what you're writing about. Then comes the drafting. And this is when we get something down on paper. And that drafting is really more for just us and our ideas. What are the ideas we want to convey to others? What are the emotions that are evoked in us? What are the feelings that are evoked in us? What are the words that we want to be conveyed in this writing? Then there's going to be a revising process. So the drafting process is starting to add the ligaments and some of the muscles to that skeleton. The revising is going to be filling out that skeleton so it is more complete. Revision is going to be looking at your documents, and it's going to be looking at them such a way as, what do my readers need to understand this? How do I want my readers to understand this? It's going to be more from the reader's point of view. How can I get them to understand what I'm trying to say? How can I convey these words in the most effective way so that my reader gets what I mean and doesn't take away some other meaning to it? Revising is going to be a multi-stage process. You're going to do it over and over. You're going to be trying to make each sentence as concise and accurate as possible, as concise and precise as possible. And you're going to be making sure that you got your connections, your connecting words, that are connecting your ideas so that the flow of what you're writing is smooth and not, that's the staccato way of doing things, right? You want to make the reading smooth as possible so that you people go from one part of the, from the beginning to the end, and it seems like a smooth flow as we go from one idea to the other idea to prove whatever it is or to convey whatever it is that piece of writing is supposed to do. Revising is really about making big picture changes. You might have to remove certain words. You might have to remove paragraphs. You might have to rewrite certain words. Pick a word that is more appropriate for that particular sentence you're trying to say. I had a student the other day that wrote a sentence that the words were entirely inappropriate for what he was trying to say. We have to choose our words. There's also the idea that maybe there'll be a sentence in a paragraph that's out of place, so you have to move the sentence up or even a whole paragraph up to make something flow better. It may be that there'll be entire sections of the writing that you want to move up or down to make the flow, the logic of the writing better. And this is something that everyone has to do. When I'm writing a manuscript, I'm probably going to rewrite it at least 10 times before, at this revision state, before I'm really ready to go to the final editing stage. The editing stage is polishing, making things look good. It's checking for grammar, it's checking correct grammar, correct spelling, correct mechanics. It's the last thing you should do before you print the document, and make sure you use the spell checker. With modern day word processors or spell checkers, there is very few times that any word should ever be spelled incorrectly, because the spell checker will catch it. And you just have to be, as a writer, had to pay attention to what the computer is telling you. This editing as should never be done until the last of the process is done. All the pre-writing, the drafting, and the revisions, all the revisions are done. Then you can edit it and clean it up and look at it as nice and shiny, as polished as possible. But let's look at a couple of these a little more in depth, the pre-writing and the drafting. So pre-writing is anything we do before we even start to write. It's going to be reading, it's going to be talking to people, it's going to be thinking and brainstorming ideas, it's going to be writing outlines, it's going to be erasing parts of the outline and redoing parts of the outline, it's going to be doing research in the library, on the internet, it's going to be assessing the data that you find, especially on the internet. You have to be careful about the data that you get, because there's a lot of things out there that are not reliable on the internet. So you have to make sure that you're getting your resources from reliable sources, which are going to be things that are recognized academic institutions, could be government agencies, it could be people that are, typically it's going to be a well-organized website that is going to be from a recognized organization that has credibility. Once you do all that gathering of the information and thinking about it, then you're going to organize the ideas. You're going to have a primary idea, a main idea, and you're going to have your secondary ideas, the things that support that main idea but are not the main idea or the primary idea. And then you're going to have your various peripheral ideas that you can put, or examples of that, those peripheral ideas or ideas for peripheral ideas that you're going to put into your outline. And I would suggest you make an outline at this point as you do this organization, that you organize it into an outline that is going to be your skeleton and is going to be your basic form that you follow throughout the rest of your writing. Although there will be some adjustment of that, it will be very little. There are other ways to organize your thoughts. You can just make notes. Many people do note cards. You can have a graphics, a flow chart. You can do semantic maps, which is how we write words and paragraphs and literary documents. Once you get all that done, then you can go to the drafting stage. The drafting occurs is really putting now some ideas onto the sentences and paragraphs, or putting the ideas, the skeleton, adding to the skeleton, putting some meat and tendons and cartilage on there so that your draft really, or your work of art starts to finally look something like what you want it to look like. You're going to be thinking primarily about what is there, what you want there. You're going to put the ideas that you have into your outline or your notes that are kind of more punctuated. You're going to put them into sentences and paragraphs. And then that's going to become the basis from which you're going to work to revise and add, subtract, and add in what is needed or taken away. So let's talk about what a sentence is. A sentence is a set of words that conveys a complete thought and is complete in itself. It will almost always contain a subject and a predicate or verb that conveys a statement. So every sentence has to have a verb and a subject, at least. It's going to convey a statement. It's going to convey a question. It's going to convey an explanation or a command. The statements and the command are typically going to be with periods at the end. A question with a question mark, exclamation, and some commands are going to be exclamation points. And then within the sentence, you're going to have a main clause. For instance, Joe went to work. That's the main clause of a sentence. It has a subject. Joe went, a verb, to work is the object of that. Joe went is actually the main part. To work is a prepositional clause that tells where Joe went. So I said that wrong to begin with. The subject is Joe, the predicate, the verb is went, and the to work is a prepositional subordinate clause that tells where Joe went. We could say Joe went to work, which is a big factory that produces clothes. Now we have three more subordinate clauses that we've added on that talk about what that work is. It's a big factory that produces clothes. Those are two separate subordinate clauses we've used there. Paragraphs are distinct sections in a piece of writing, and they're going to usually deal with a single theme. Often they're indicated by either separating one whole line in between an indentation or a numbering. Typically the numbering is not used in most things for the writing that you'll be doing. It'll either be a separation or a new line in between one paragraph, an empty line between one paragraph and the next paragraph, or an indentation of the first line. Paragraphs are generally going to start out with a main sentence, although that main sentence, which contains a primary thought of that paragraph, may be found later on in the paragraph, but typically it's the first one. It's going to then have secondary ideas that support that main sentence, that primary idea sentence, and then it'll also have some peripheral examples or further clarifications for that main idea and the secondary idea that supports it. as a student in the Christian Leaders Institute, you need to master all the parts of speech. Do you know what a noun is? Do you know what an adjective is? Do you know what a verb is, a conjunction, a preposition, or an article, an interjection, or an adverb? Can you say what each part of this is? A noun is going to be a person, place, or thing. An adjective is going to be some word that describes the noun. For instance, a blue car, five peacocks. A blue is the adjective describing the noun cow. Five is an adjective describing the noun peacock. A verb is something that conveys action. He went, I went. They cognated. Those are words that are going to show us doing something. There's going to be present, past, and future tenses. It's going to be past participles and present participles, the different ways to do the verbs. Conjunctions are going to be things that connect two parts of a sentence together. Typically, they're going to be and or but or. Prepositions are going to be a word that describes a relationship of one thing to another thing. He was a son of Tom. Of is a preposition. I went to the store. To is a preposition because it relates the store to me. John went with Jerry to the movies. In this case, John went with is a preposition. Jerry, telling the relationship between Jerry and John. To the movies is telling a prepositional. Of to is a preposition telling how the movies relate to John and Jerry. An article is typically an or the. The article, an article, and being used when the letter, the first letter of the word, the next noun word is a vowel. A, when the first letter of the next the noun word that follows is a consonant. So A, E, I, O, U are vowels. So an article, an elephant, an octopus, a computer, a cup, a desk, a glass. Those nouns, glass, cup, computer, those all start with a consonant, whereas elephant and octopus start with a vowel, so we would use an with them. An interjection is something like oh or wow, or it is a word that really conveys an emotional expression of some type of surprise or joy or hurt or something like that. And then an adverb is a part of speech that modifies the verb. And the adverb is one of the ways I find to best tell the adverb is if you can. I faithfully went to see Grandpa Jones. I went to Grandpa Jones to see him faithfully. Faithfully, I went to see Grandpa Jones. I faithfully went to see Grandpa Jones. If it ends with ly, it's typically an adverb. If you can move it around easily in the English sentence and it still makes sense, it's typically going to be an adverb. That's one of the easy ways to tell what an adverb is. Finally, we're going to talk about revision. Or next to finally, we're going to talk about revision. So revision is about making big word changes. You're going to remove sections, rewrite sections, move things around in what you write. And it's something everybody has to do. It's going to be, there's actually sub-processes in this sub-process of writing. You're going to be adding new things in. Maybe you're reading something on on the book of Job, and you say, oh, I need to talk about what Behemoth is. Most people won't understand what Behemoth is. And so you read something in because you didn't talk about that before. It means you may have to add things in if your word count or your page count isn't sufficient. You have to add them in. When you do that, what are the areas you could look at in what you've written already that you could expand on and make better, make more additional points about? You can look at your notes, go back to your notes, look for ideas. You may have to look outside go back and do some research again to find out what ideas to add. There's also going to be removing. Sometimes one of your ideas doesn't work out and it says, that just doesn't make sense where it's at. That just is not flowing with everything else. I'm just going to get rid of it. Sometimes, especially if you got a word count or a page limit, you're going to say, I don't want to get rid of it, but well, it's not quite as important as these other ideas I'm conveying. So, well, I have to get rid of it. Oh, well. Maybe there's a story that doesn't fit well with the rest. You know, that just didn't flow correctly. Removing is almost always either because you have to cut down on words or because something doesn't flow correctly. There's also rearranging. So that you may have to rearrange a sentence so it says something more concisely and precisely. You may need to rearrange a paragraph so the flow of argument in the paragraph sounds better. You may have to rearrange whole paragraphs and whole sections so that your flow of logic, your piece of writing that you're making sounds better and flows better and doesn't seem like something came out of the middle of nowhere from nowhere. You know, I was going to the moon and I saw the moon surface, but you know, John was a very good person at the time, but the moon surface was full of craters. And what in the world are we talking about John in the middle of talking about the moon surface and going to the moon? So sometimes we have to, we probably remove that, but maybe when John was one of the astronauts that went with us to the moon. And so in that case, we'd have to rearrange John somehow to show that John was with us when we got to the moon. And he also was enjoying the view of the moon with us. So rearranging to make your story flow better is an important part of writing. Maybe one of the things you'll be doing the most of is rearranging at times. If you write a short story, you can't let the story drag. How many times have you watched a movie from a movie script or a TV show and you're going, oh, will this ever move on to the next step? Or what in the world does that have to do with what the last scene was? Well, that was a job of they didn't revise the script sufficiently. Either they didn't rearrange it to make it make sense, or they didn't add enough things, or that maybe they had too much and they needed to remove things. The final sub process is replacing. Sometimes it's going to be replacing a word with a better word, a more concise word for what you're trying to convey. That's often the case in technical writing and even any type of writing that will be the case. Maybe you need to replace an illustration that is not as strong as another illustration would be. And so you replace the weaker illustration with a stronger illustration, maybe an example or a quote that supports the argument you're making. Maybe your paragraph or some sentence, paragraph, section, it just doesn't work at all. So you're going to have to go back and rewrite it. Rewriting is a form of replacement where it just isn't flowing or sounding, or you don't think it's getting across the idea that you want to get across. And so you go back, okay, I'm going to start from scratch and rewrite this particular section or paragraph all over again. So these are four sub-processes, the revisions, adding, rearranging, removing, and replacing. And this whole process is of drafting, revision, and planning, and drafting and revision is really a very circular process where We are going to pre-write, get our basic idea and plan. But once we plan and start writing down, we're going to have to go through the process of reflecting. And then we're going to have to get feedback in some way from others, potentially people to read our drafts. And then we may have to go back and revise it. Maybe after reflecting, we go back to revising the draft. Maybe after we talk to someone, we go back to revising the draft. Maybe we look and say, oh, and this revision, I need more. So I need more research. So I have to generate another idea to go into this for whatever reason. So then we have to go look up new information, which then ends up taking us back to the planning and then adding that into the draft. And so this goes in a circle or multiple little circles back and forth until we finally get the revision to where it's basically ready to go, except for that last polishing that needs to be done. You've got your car all working. You took made an old classic car. You've got it put all together. You've got all the parts working. You got everything done now, but to put that last coat of polish on so it looks brand new. That's the same thing with writing. Once you get all the revision done, everything's working properly. Now you're just going to go back and proofread it and edit all the little mistakes. So it is spelling, grammar, all those things that are going to make it look the best that it can be. I hope that you've enjoyed this talk on writing. It is a process. It can be fun. It's oftentimes difficult to get the first step going, to get the first line down. Many times people say, I myself have said, how do I start it out? You know, one of my professors, one of my mentors gave me a very good idea for that. He said, just put something down. Just put something down. Once you start writing and put something down in the process of drafting and revision and redrafting and re-revising, you will eventually come to a point of your idea, your will start to take shape, and you will begin to enjoy the process. Get past that first step and just do it. Just write something down, what you're trying to write down. Then you can come back later and multiple times later and then revise, redraft, and get it to where you want it to be. So enjoy the process. I hope you start writing things today. I know you have things you're going to have to write for CLI. So get your writing skills up to par, and we're looking forward to seeing what you can do. May God bless you as you start writing, and we'll see you next time. Bye.